proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Kevin McDonough, our Senate chaplain from the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And then please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. President and Senators, I thank you for the privilege as a 100% Irishman of being with you on this day, Feast of St. Patrick. And in fact, I've brought a little prayer from St. Patrick's own words. His breastplate, much of the prayer, of course, comes from his particular tradition. And out of respect for the diversity of this body, I want simply to pray one portion of the prayer we might consider it. Prayer also for a good growing season for the people of Minnesota. Patrick says, I bind unto myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven, the glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at eventide, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling wind's tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt sea, around the old eternal rocks. Bless our state and the work of this body. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good to see you. Thank you. Yep. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. Next order of business is executive and official communications. They are printed on today's agenda. Next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file. Herewith returned, Senate file 2471, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are about five authors' motions. Without objection, we will take those as one motion. They are printed on today's agenda. First, on the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There are a number of resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, they will be referred to the Rules Committee. I believe there's a couple of motions to be read at the desk. Senator Higgins, do you have a motion to read? Who's got the other one?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2790, number 87 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Mr.
Okay,
President,
this
is my bill, and it got a big honking fiscal note on it.
All right,
on
the Higgins motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Without objection, we'll go to introductions and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. First reading, without objection, first reading of Senate bills. And I go to the calendar for the day. Senator, here again, hate shouldn't have to remind everybody every day, but there will be about 8 or 9 votes here, and we probably won't wait forever again. So the first bill remaining on motions, the first bill on the calendar will be House File 2827. This is a Lynch bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2827, a bill for an act relating to local government, amending county historical society funding.
Secretary will take the roll.
Is there any notes in there, or don't we need notes? Faye.
All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and the title agreed to. Second bill on the calendar will be House File 2907. This is Senator Kubley's bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2907, a bill for an act relating to Yellow Medicine County, providing a process for making certain offices appointive in Yellow Medicine County.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 45 ayes and 10 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar, number 3, House File 3368. This is a Senator Dahl's bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3368. A bill for an act relating to utilities, setting filing deadline for certain reports.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed, which title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar will be number 4, House File 2816. This is a Senator Sharon bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2816, a bill for an act relating to Nicollet County, providing a process for making certain offices appointive in Nicollet County.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary We'll close the roll. There being 47 ayes, 10 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar, number 5, Senate File 1918. This is a Senator Prettner-Solon bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1918, a bill for an act relating to telecommunications, creating the Ultra High Speed Broadband Task Force.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes, 2 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar is number 6, House File 1219. This is a Senator Wergen bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 1219, a bill for an act relating to transportation, removing sunset date for weight exemptions for certain milk trucks.
Secretary will take the roll. We'll close the roll. There being 55 ayes, 3 nays. 56 ayes, 3 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Number 7 on the calendar would be Senate File 457. This is a Senator Larson bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 457, a bill for an act relating to elections, providing for establishment of single-member school board election districts in Independent School District 271, Bloomington.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 41 ayes and 18 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar is House File 2553. This is a Senator Latz bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2553, a bill for an act relating to state government, creating a catastrophe survivor compensation fund, appropriating money.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, or desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There will be 57 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller, remaining under motions, would you like to get moved to the consent calendar?
Let's do that, Mr. President. I would move that remainder of motions, the Senate take up the consent calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Right there.
The first item on the consent calendar is Senate file 2632. Senator Scogin. Senator Scogin, on the consent calendar.
Mr. President, I ask for some advice. I've been asked by the House author to hold off for at least a day on this one. They would like to take it up a little bit later, so I'd like to have it set aside for today.
That's fine. We'll progress it. The second item on the consent calendar is Senate File 3443. Senator Coring. Senator Coring. Consent calendar, Senate File 3443.
I would ask for progress just for a little bit.
Number three, Senator Metzen, Senate File 3147.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill deals with the blind and disabled accessible electronic information services expiration date. What this bill does, it repeals the sunset dates on these two funds that are financed from the TAM account. Telecommunications Access to Minnesota. This account has a surplus, and instead of us coming back each and every year to do this, we want to remove the sunset. Department of Human Services, Deaf and Hard of Hearing Services Division, support the bill. Department of Employment Economic Development, Blind Services, and the National Federation of the Blind. So I'd ask for your support.
The discussion on Senate File 3147. Hearing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 3147 its third reading.
Senate File 3147, a bill for an act relating to communications, repealing a sunset provision.
So further discussion. Secretary will take the roll on final passage on Senate File 3147. Have all senators voted who desire to vote? The secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed as chairs agree to. We will revert to number 2 on the consent calendar, Senate File 3443. Senator Coring.
Well, thank you, Mr. President and members. This bill, Senate File 3443, or do I have, is that the right number up there, Mr. President?
No, or they haven't changed it yet.
Okay.
It's number 2, 3443.
3433. Members, this is a bill to designate July 27th of each year as Korean War Veterans Day for all Minnesotans to show our appreciation to the Korean War veterans. Now, members, we know that a lot of that all of our men and women that served in the military, how important it is for us to recognize them. And it is especially important that we recognize our Korean War veterans. My dad was a Korean War veteran, so this has a special meaning to me. There was no opposition to this bill, and I would stand for any questions and ask the body's support on this important bill.
Is there discussion on Senate File 3443? Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chair. Senator Coring, yield for a question.
He will yield.
Senator Coring, I noticed there's another bill here relating to a Vietnam Veterans Day, too. Veterans Day has worked for a long time, and that's a big deal, and we all celebrate it and work on it. Why divide these up? I'm just curious.
Senator Coring.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Vanderbeer, you are correct. There is a Veterans Day. But if you, and you will probably remember better than I would because I'm not old enough, but if you're a scholar of history, our Vietnam veterans were not treated very well when they came home after serving in Vietnam. And so I think what Senator Scogin is trying to do with his bill, recognizing Vietnam veterans, is to kind of give them the honor and due that they're deserved. And I'm trying to do the same thing for our Korean War veterans. Some people say that the Korean War was not really a war. It was a police action. It was no big deal. And if you ever go up to a veteran or talk to a veteran, and you know, like I do, when I'm in a restaurant and I see somebody in their military uniform and go up to them and thank them for their service, it means a lot. And so what we're just trying to do by doing this is saying thank you to these veterans. And the significance of July 27th was the end of the conflict and the agreement to stop the war.
Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator Coring, when you get a little older, you may, in a little more experience, you might find that we could appreciate all of them on the same day, but you make some good arguments, and appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 3443? Hearing none, the question occurs on Senate File 3443. The Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate File 3443, a bill for an act relating to veterans, designating July 27th as Korean War Veterans Day.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on final passage on Senate File 3443. Have all senators voted who desire to vote? The Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed as titles agreed to. Number 4 on the consent calendar is Senate File 2830. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Senate File 2830 is a bill that we first passed in this body in 2005. What it does is it allows workers to get paid with a payroll card. It's good for the workers. It's voluntary, and we've had no complaints. In fact, Mr. President and members, this is model language that's been used around the nation. We've extended the sunset 2 times, and what this bill would do is simply remove that sunset. I would ask for member support.
Is there discussion on Senate File 2830? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 2830 its third reading.
Senate File 2830, a bill for an act relating to payroll card accounts repealing a sunset.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on final passage on Senate File 2830. Have all senators voted who desire to vote? The Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 1 nay, the bill is passed as titles agreed to. The 5th item on the consent calendar is Senate File 3084. Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill actually relates to an error in platting that occurred about 35 years ago. When the authority was established and the area was designated for a ski hill and cross-country ski trails, a legal description of the property subject to the Recreation Authority was established in statute. it has been discovered that there is an error in the legal description. Some land in the middle of the ski hill is not in the description, and land which is well below the ski area is included in the legal description. And basically, that's it. They think that it was a typo that designated northeast rather than northwest, and this is correcting a problem or an error that occurred 35 years ago. It doesn't change practice. It doesn't change the area of the ski hill, but it corrects the legal description of the ski hill.
Is there discussion on Senate File 3084? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 3084 its third reading.
Senate File 3084, a bill for an act relating to the City of Duluth, correcting the legal description of the boundaries of the tracts of land administered by the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority.
Is there discussion on Senate File 3084? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on final passage. Have all senators voted who desire to vote? The Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed as titles agreed to.
Mr. President, remaining on the order of business of motions and resolutions, I move that the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, members, there are several items on the general orders calendar. They are, maybe we can get through them all. We're going to work till about 12:20 or 12:25. So let's just see how it goes. I would yield to Senator Murphy.
The first item on the general orders calendar is number 80 on general orders, Senate File 3564. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3564 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and members, what Senate File 3564 does is correct a typographical error that was in the omnibus transportation finance bill. Nothing in this bill changes the scope of that bill, which was enacted. All this does is rectify that typographical error.
Is there discussion on Senate File 3564? Seeing none, Senator Murphy renews his motion when this committee do arise that Senate File 3564 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The next item is number 26. Senator Larson. The next item is number 26 on general orders, House File 1546. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this committee do arise, I move that House File 1546 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1546 is a bill that allows for automatic updates of addresses to the Secretary of State's voter file. And basically what the bill would do is it would allow for the Secretary of State's office to receive updates from the United States Postal Service regarding change of address and provide for a far more efficient and accurate voter data file at the Secretary of State's office. It also provides that if at any given time a local county auditor sends information to a voter, a registered voter, and that information comes back so that with either a forwarding address or not a forwarding address, We have a process in place by which we make sure that that person is registered in the appropriate jurisdiction. And if that person should no longer be registered to vote in Minnesota, we have a process by which that voter is contacted and they're given a brief period of time to make the case that, in fact, they should be registered. Otherwise, they're taken off the rolls. And so members, in the next election, it's expected that we'll have several hundred thousand people update their registration at the polls. About 80% of it is, we predict that about 80% of those updates could occur through this process, making for a far easier system at the polls where people are trying to actually update just because they've moved. This would provide that that system is in place throughout the year and that those updates are provided and that those updates are accurate. Members, this proposal comes out of a process, as you recall, from last year, which was the discussion about automatic registration for voter registration. This does not include automatic registration. This is the piece of the bill that, in fact, is the part that has the least amount of little or no controversy that I'm aware of, and that is making sure that we have the correct addresses, they're updated accurately, and we have a system to ensure that our voter database is the most accurate that's possible. A number of other states have already enacted this change and are benefiting from these automatic voter updates. The effective date, members, is immediate, although it allows for the Secretary of State to go through the process of being entirely sure that the computer update that needs to occur is fully workable prior to it being implemented. That's expected to be this summer, but if for some reason that's not possible, we want to be sure that the Secretary of State has the latitude to implement it on the basis that that makes the most sense and that it's the most effective. I stand for questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions on House File 1546? Seeing none, Senator Larson renews his motion that when this committee do arrives, House File 1546 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The next item is number 4 on general orders, House File 3099, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, House File 3099 be recommended to pass. Is that the right motion?
On that motion, Senator Higgins.
Okay. Excuse me. Mr. Chair, members, this bill would require the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to maintain and administer emergency management training curriculum. Agencies that are involved with Homeland Security or disaster response would be required to have one employee within the agency who would complete the entire emergency management curriculum. Such a change would ensure greater regulation in that all agencies doing emergency management disaster response would now be trained under HSEM and in Minnesota. With this bill, we would begin to hold our state-level emergency management disaster staff at a level we require on the local level. Mr. Chair, Minnesota has a great emergency management training program, but we require the local folks to be certified. We don't require our own staff to be certified, and this would correct that. Thank you, and love your support.
Is there discussion on House File 3099? Seeing none, Senator Higgins renews her motion that when this committee do arise, House File 3099 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. We will skip over the next one. The next one, the next item on general orders is House File 2636. Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does arise, House File 2636 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Saxhog. Senator Saxhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Today I'm presenting House File 2636. This bill will allow townships through the residents to thank volunteers, build community, and recognize special services rendered by township officers and citizens. They must decide to do this at their annual township meeting. They can decide to put it on the ballot. These are all recognized as valid public purposes by the Attorney General and the State Auditor's Offices, and this bill grants the statutory authority that the Attorney General found lacking. I'll stand for any questions.
Are there any questions on House File 2636? Seeing none, Senator Saxhog renews his motion that when this committee do arise, House File 2636 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next item is number 8 on general orders, Senate File 2369. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2369 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A5 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A5 amendment.
Senator Ress moves to amend Senate File 2369 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert Section 1. This is Amendment A-5.
On the A5 amendment, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill deals with background checks for people that work or volunteer on a regular basis in the schools. I don't usually bring forward a delete everything amendment on the floor, but the changes that were suggested following the discussion in the Judiciary Committee, Senate counsel advised that the easiest way to do that for people to read it and make sense was to move the language from one section into another section and to do that through a delete all amendment. So the sections that is being amended is 123B03, which is the criminal background check that is required currently for by school hiring authorities, and it would include then those who are offered employment in the school. We're talking about not just the regular permanent school employees, but also those that are under a short-term contract to be a coach or put on a musical or whatever, and then those who are on a regular and consistent basis of a minimum of once per week during the school year to provide services or other extracurricular or co-curricular services, regardless of whether they're paid, that they also be required to have a background check. And I would stand for questions.
Further discussion on the A5 amendment. Seeing none, question occurs on the A5 amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The A5 amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion on Senate File 2369 as amended? Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, will Senator Rest yield?
She will yield.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I was reading on lines 9 and 10 where they would required to get a background check if the individual is in the school a minimum of once a week during the school year. And my question and kind of concern is that would imply that they would have to be in the school or scheduled to be in the school once a week for the entire year.
Senator Fredrickson, just a second. Senator Rest cannot hear the question of Senator Fredrickson.
If that were the case, it would not cover a coach, say, who was, let's say, coaching tennis for 8 weeks in the spring, because they would only be there 8 weeks during the year.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Fredrickson, I had inquired about that very question, if there was ambiguity in this language, to make sure that it did indeed cover, this language did indeed cover that sort of of individual and was assured it did. It didn't say every week in the school year, but a minimum of once per week at any time during the school year, as opposed to what we were trying to avoid, and the issue was brought up in the Judiciary Committee, was having to require a background check of, let's say, a parent who was volunteering to go on a single field trip during the year, and that this language would not apply then to those folks, but that would apply to someone who we were particularly concerned about, the volunteers who on a regular basis are in the classroom.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2369? Seeing none, the question of Senator Rest renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2369 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The next item is number 9 on general order, Senate File 1965. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1965 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, this bill makes a small addition to the existing exception for the renewal of set-asides. Currently, if you work in a chemical dependency program and have had a set-aside in the past, you can get another one if you're getting a different job or a different employer. This would extend that same thing to the area of community-based corrections facilities.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1965? Seeing none, Senator Berglund renews her motion when this committee do arise, Senate File 1965 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. We will skip over the next one. The next item up is Senate File number 11 on general orders, Senate File 2786. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2786 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last year we enacted many changes in the Department of Labor and Industry, a lot of reorganization, a lot of recodification, and they tried to put some uniformity into licensing standards and how the different professions are regulated. We created a problem for some plumbers. We didn't know that would happen. Certain individuals were able to get a restricted master plumber license or a restricted journeyman plumber license so they could keep doing their plumbing work in every part of the state except cities and towns that have a population of over 5,000. Well, a problem arose with the deadline. The law said that all the applications had to be in by January 1 of this year, 2008. I learned that the deadline didn't really allow enough time for everybody to apply, especially in light of the 2007 flooding that affected some areas of Minnesota. So as a result, some of those folks missed the deadline. This extends that deadline for those restricted plumber license applications. And the department has been very cooperative in helping people work their way through this. But this is the result of coming to an understanding that we caused a problem unintended, and this fixes that and will help those restricted plumber's licenses in greater Minnesota in places of population less than 5,000 to be able to be licensed. I'd appreciate your support.
Is there discussion on Senate File 2786? Seeing none, Senator Scheid renews her motion when this committee do arise, Senate File 2786 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The next item is number 12 on general orders, Senate File 2688. Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, the Senate file number 2686 be 2688 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is a bill that's related to independent contractors and specifically within the trucking industry. It asks the Commissioner of the Economic Development to conduct sufficient audits of the trucking industries to determine whether or not there's been a pattern of improper classification. And it's this goes along with what the state auditor has been suggesting as far as independent contractors are concerned, and making sure that people aren't misclassified. And Mr. President, I have the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the A50 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend Senate File 2688 as follows. Page 1 after line 3, insert. This is Amendment A50.
On the amendment, Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, the A50 amendment has been an agreement between the truckers and the and unions, and the department's neutral on it, and it just makes an exception to the trucking and independent contractors language.
Senator Tomasoni, wait just a minute. The amendment just came up. Is there discussion on the A50 amendment? Seeing none, the question occurs on the A50 amendment. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Tomasoni.
And Mr. President, I'd like to move the bill.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2688 as amended? Seeing none, Senator Tomasoni renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2688 be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The next item is number 76 on general orders, Senate File 3158. Senator Scogin. Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 3158 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Scogin.
Members, Senate File 3158 gives Explore Minnesota Tourism the authority to conduct a study on vacation rental lodging around the state of Minnesota, then report back to the legislature on consumer protection recommendations.
Is there discussion on Senate File 3158? Seeing none, Senator Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce the A1 amendment.
Secretary will report the Limmer A1 amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend Senate File 3158 as follows. Page 1, line 14. This is Amendment A-1.
Senator Limmer on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Scogin, I'm sorry I just walked in. This amendment is hopefully a one that you will see as a friendly amendment. Apparently, there is a reference to a report going to the chairs of legislative committees, and this simply recognizes the ranking members of those committees, that reports would also be issued to those as well.
Senator Scogin.
Senator Limmer, Mr. President, I find this amendment to be friendly.
On the amendment, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders.
Mr. President.
Will be number.
We passed the amendment. We didn't move the bill.
Oh, okay.
Mr. President, if I could indulge you to move the bill.
On the motion to approve the bill as amended, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Thanks for the small details. The next bill under consideration of general orders will be number 5, Senate File 2390, Senator Betzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2390 be recommended to pass.
Senator Betzel on the bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 2390 revisits an issue that passed the legislature a few years ago dealing with the use of Social Security numbers. One of the provisions that we have currently in law prohibits the selling of Social Security numbers. However, an unusual situation came up about a year or so ago when some of the agencies that issue credit reports to Minnesotans interpreted that part of the law that says that they could not use Social Security numbers to issue them to Minnesotans, which basically meant that some Minnesotans could not get credit reports. That's not how many people interpret this section of the law, but as long as they were interpreting the law, we had to make some changes in here. So basically, this bill does provide that it does not prohibit the transfer or disclosure of an individual's Social Security number to a third party if it has no independent economic value or is incidental to a larger transaction, and if the number is initially collected for the purpose of identifying the individual. So that will correct it. We also have made very minor changes allowing the Social Security number to be used for as a primary identifier for life insurance and for payroll purposes, and also just a very technical change that in Section 2, we do not require the use of Social Security number, we authorize or permit it. So otherwise, this does take take care of an issue, which frankly, if this does not pass, our banks and other agencies are already incurring great costs to anticipate changing the systems over if this does not pass. I stand for any questions and urge your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 2390. Seeing none, the author renews his motion when this committee do arise that Senate File 2390 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The last bill I have on general orders is number 10, Senate File 2653, Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2653 be recommended to pass.
Senator Betzel on the bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, this bill comes to us as a result of an interpretation of a current Minnesota statute that prohibits elected officials from voting on an issue in which they have a conflict of interest. The issue actually came out of the Moundsview School District, where a new school board member elected last November is married to an employee of that school district, and the collective bargaining agreement is coming before the city, the school board. Obviously, the new school board member cannot be voting on this issue because she does have a conflict of interest. However, the attorney for the school board has interpreted that provision of statute to say that not only does she have a conflict of interest, but every other school board has a conflict of interest, and none of them are going to be able to vote on this. It's questionable whether this is a good interpretation of the law, but that, as I say, that is what has been advised of the school board, and other school boards are going back and taking a look seriously. So it does not affect just one school board. It affects them throughout the state. There has been a request for an attorney general's opinion on this issue, but just to be on the safe side, we want to make sure that this passes and is signed into law so that this perceived conflict of interest does not shut down the whole school board on some collective bargain issues. I stand for any questions.
Discussion on Senate File 2653. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Mr. Chairman, I wondered if I could ask Senator Betzel a question. Would he respond?
He will respond. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Senator Betzel, I'm just curious about this. As I understand, the provision in current law, the 47187, deals with employment of members of the school board, and that if a board member or prospective board member is going to make over $8,000 a year, that they would have to be a vote would be taken by the rest of the board to permit that member to serve on the board. And I'm just wondering why this provision or this kind of conflict would also not be covered under that same procedure.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hahn, again, this is interpretation of current law, and I believe that what the attorney who's advising the school board has said that there's a section that said if there's a conflict of interest, it says this applies to everyone. And I think that may be how he's interpreting it. I don't know whether that would cover the situation you've described or not. It certainly does say that if there is a basically, he says if one member has a conflict of interest, they all do. If Senator Hahn, is there something in the current bill that you think is not covering that situation? I'm certainly interested in knowing that because we do want to make sure that we cover the situations that has been raised by this one opinion here.
Senator Hahn.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Butzel, thank you. I guess my interest is to try to preserve the structure of the current law, in that I think it is important for people on the school board to acknowledge if they have a financial interest that would impinge on decisions they would make as a school board member. And as I understand the current law, if a person has that, then that has to be acknowledged at the time that they are brought onto the board, and then I guess the members of the board have to, by vote, accept that member as a part of the board. I guess the situation where a member has a spouse that has a direct financial interest in the activities or the decisions of the board, I would think that would be considered to be the same kind of a conflict, in that the person, the board member, would have a direct financial interest that would, if it was more than $8,000, would require an active vote on the part of the board to allow that person to serve. I guess I'm just not certain that what we're doing here preserves that sense of keeping financial conflicts from occurring by board members.
Well,
Senator,
Mr. Chairman, of course, school board members as well as members of other public bodies may vote on a lot of issues. If you happen to have a conflict of interest on a particular issue, certainly the member of the public body should abstain from voting on that. We have that here in the legislative process. It happens occasionally when a member has a conflict of interest. This is an interest, as I say, that came up in the school board because a newly elected school board was elected to the school board, happens to be married to an employee of the school district. So as issues come on up that affect the collective bargaining process, issues that affect the employment issues, she should not be voting on that and does not intend to vote on that. And will be abstaining from any votes. But she should be able to vote on any other issues that come before the school board. The problem is that the other members of the school board who do not have that particular conflict should, and in fact must, be voting on that. And according to this interpretation of the current law, the other board members are likewise prevented because a conflict of interest to one is now attributed to all the other school board members, even though they personally don't have that conflict. As I say, I question whether that's a correct interpretation of the law, but that's one that's been promulgated, and that is why this bill is here before you.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Betzold. I'm a little troubled by this. I guess, to be honest with you, I think that the idea of trying to preserve a sense of independence from financial conflicts on a school board is very important. School boards deal with contracts every year, and when you have a direct financial stake in the result of the negotiation or the result of the conflict, I think that does present a conflict. And I think the purpose of 471 is to try to make sure that the public is not being served by on a board, members of a board, who would benefit from any negotiations or contracts that are implemented by the board. And I understand that this is a little bit different in that it involves a spouse, but nevertheless that inherent conflict remains. And my own opinion would be that I would be hesitant to allow this change to go forward. I think that if anything, we ought to say that a person who has a conflict involving a spouse, that ought to be an issue addressed in the same way as the current law. So members, I'm going to vote against this, and I guess I would urge that we not diminish the impact of the current law.
Further discussion on Senate File 2653, seeing none.
Mr. Chairman, again, current law does provide penalties if you have a conflict of interest and you vote on something that you have a conflict of interest in. There are penalties for that. The problem is that conflict should not be attributable to other members of the public body who do not have that same conflict of interest.
Senator Betzel renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2653 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails. We're going to do one more bill on general orders. We're going to add number 17,
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, let's add number 17. Okay, Senator Marty.
This is a Senator Marty bill. Senator Marty, Senate File 2941.
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee to arise at Senate File 2941 be recommended to pass.
Marty, discussion on the bill.
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, members, this bill came to being because of a constituent up, I think, in Senator Clark's district, I believe, a young man named Justin Pearson died from a drug overdose from some painkiller drugs that he got, should have been illegally, from a pharmacy over the internet. They were actually picked up at a pharmacy in Minnesota, but it was one of the fraudulent pharmacies that's dealing with drugs over the internet. And this bill was designed to crack down on it. Senator Fischbach had a bill to start doing this last year, but we had to make some changes because the industry's found ways around that. So section one of the bill is just simply authorizing a nurse to dispense certain patches and as alternatives to contraceptive pills. Section 2 is technical. Section 3 is the guts of the bill about the Justin Pearson case, which means that if you are dealing certain drugs that are likely to be abused, which you can see on page 2 of the bill, if you are dealing those through a pharmacy, you would have to have an in-person examination at some point, so you don't have an anonymous doctor who's never seen the patient. Section 4 of the bill is sort of a technical change. It makes current law conform with current practice. Currently, you technically could not pick up a prescription for a family member. This would allow that to happen. And Section 5 is a repealer of a duplicate provision that was passed twice last year. And so we're just taking out one of the two things that passed. And be happy to stand for questions. I believe Senator Erickson Ropes has an amendment.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have just a technical amendment that Senator Marty's agreed I could attach to his bill. This only is a correction of an effective date. This bill passed through the Senate last year, and it passed the Senate floor. It made it to the revisor's bill on the House side, but then the House revisor's bill didn't pass the House. So now I'm just asking a technical amendment to be attached to Senator Marty's bill.
Secretary will report Senator Erickson Ropes' amendment.
Senator Erickson Ropes moves to amend Senate File 2941 as follows. Page 4 after line 21, insert. This is Amendment A50.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Marty?
Mr. President, yeah, this is purely technical. This is the language the Senate passed last year on counties redispensing unopened drugs. The revised
amendment,
somewhere in the House messed up on it, but this is technical. It also relates to pharmaceuticals.
On the Erickson Ropes Amendment, A50. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on Senate File 2941 as amended. Seeing none, Senator Marty renews his motion that when this committee do arise, that House File 2941 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. So are we on announcements of Senate interest?
Mr. President, we are waiting for a couple minutes for the some committee reports that are going to be heard in the 12:30 meeting. So I would stand for announcements, but let me just give a lineup of what we're planning for the rest of the week. Today, we will just have a skeleton crew come back after the 3 o'clock committee meeting sometime early this evening to take committee reports. So members will not have to come back. It'll just be the skeleton crew. Right as of this moment, it looks like we will meet tomorrow and take up the ever-popular good faith piece of legislation. And then on Wednesday, It appears we will be taking up Senator Berglund's health care reform bill, Senator Berglund's and Senator Rosen's health care reform bill. That depends on whether it gets processed through the Finance Committee, which is a better than 50-50 chance. I think we're not certain it'll be processed. And then that's pretty much it, I think. Tomorrow is still, it's about 90% will come in tomorrow and take up that bill, but, and perhaps some other items, like we did today, some non-controversial items. So then I would just, oh, we do have it, the addendum. Mr. President, then I would move that we revert to reports of committees.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, I would move that we adopt the reports of committees in the Senate addendum.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Should we do this?
Also on the addendum, the second reading of Senate bills, they are printed on the addendum. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. That's it. Remaining under motions, we have one at the desk.
Senator Saxhog moves that Senate File 2651 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary.
Okay, Senator Saxhog, this is your bill.
Mr. President, and we've talked to both chairmen.
Okay. On the Saxhog motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Then I'd yield for announcements, Mr. President.
Senator Vickerman, on announcements.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, Congress has declared March 16th as National Agriculture Week. I think that it is important for us to take a brief moment today to reflect on the important role that agriculture plays in Minnesota economy and in our daily lives. Minnesota agriculture helps feed the world and fuels our nation's economy. Minnesota is the sixth largest agriculture producer in the United States. Minnesota agriculture experts inject nearly $3 billion into the state's economy. Minnesota tops five commodities are hogs, corn, soybeans, dairy, and cattle, which account for 77% of Minnesota's total agriculture cash receipts. The stewardship of Minnesota farmers and ranchers ensures a sustainable resource base for future generations, and Minnesota farmers and ranchers provide the most abundant and most affordable food to consumers. Minnesota agriculture also leads the nation in the development of renewable biofuels. Agriculture is building on centuries of progress by constantly seeking advances in science, research, technology, production, and marketing to meet the demands of the changing consumer needs and the complex world markets. In recognition of National Agriculture Week, I urge this legislative body and all Minnesotans to acknowledge that many contributions to agriculture has made to the state of Minnesota.
Senator Corrin.
Mr. President, I have a point of personal privilege.
Senator Corrin.
Well, thank you,
point.
Mr. President. Well, to my colleagues in the Minnesota Senate, I was thinking that you were going to be really loud and wouldn't be listening to me, but I'm glad you're listening to me. What I'd like to just say is I'm a little bit upset, but I'll be fine. I got an amendment on to a certain bill, and a certain department was not happy with that amendment getting on this bill. And I want to tell you about a conversation that I had, and I've been talking about this in the different committees. I was walking across the street, and I ran into this fella from a department. And I said, gee, I hope you're not upset with me. And he said, no, I'm not upset. And I said, well, I said, I'm just fighting for my constituents. I'm going to do everything I can to keep this amendment in the bill. He says, well, I'm going to do everything I can to get it out of the bill. And my question is to this body is, who's running the state of Minnesota? Are we, the people that are elected and have the election certificates, running the show? Because every committee that I'm in, we always say, oh, what does the department think? You know what? I don't care what the department thinks. We're the ones that are making the decisions and making policy. They're carrying it out. And so now when we have departments undermining a senator, I don't think very much of that. And I wish it would stop, as far as I'm concerned, because you people are the policymakers, and I just hope we never forget that. And am I upset? Yeah, I'm a little bit upset. But you know what? I probably shouldn't even have got up and said anything, but I feel better now that I said something. And you know what? I could care less about the amendment. You know what? It's for the kids so that they can ski down a hill. So if this gets taken out or gets where this nonprofit can't afford to pay this rent anymore, it's for the kids. Big deal. So thanks for listening.
Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, the State Government Budget Division will meet at 1 o'clock in room 112. 1 o'clock in room 112.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the Senate Health, Housing, Family Security meeting will meet at 10 to 1.
Senator Sedgel.
Mr. President, members, or at least Republican members, Senate Republicans will caucus tomorrow morning at 7:45 to discuss the good faith bill.
Senator Pogramiller.
Members of the minority, my apology. Sorry about that. But I will give Senator Sedgham a heads up if we're not going to take it up tomorrow, but I think we are, so. Maybe you can avoid a 7:45, but no, I think we are going to take it up. So, the majority caucus, Mr. President, will meet at 5 o'clock. I think probably 1:12. I'm guessing.
Okay. Without objection, Senator Moi, Parasol, Senator Johnson, Senator Robley, Senator Fishbach, all day to be excused today. Senator Limmer from 11 to 12:05, Senator Sengem from 11 to 11:25, Senator Skoy, Senator Bach from 11 to 11:30. Senator Sengem.
Mr. President, members, after due consideration, we're going to meet here at least in our caucus room at 5 o'clock to talk about the bad faith bill. And good faith, bad faith, no faith at all. 5 o'clock, Senate Republicans in the caucus.
Senator Pogramiller.
Mr. President, I'd move recess to the call of the chair, and that'll just be for a skeleton crew this afternoon sometime.
Okay, on the motion by Senator Pogramiller to recess, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands at recess.
Sorry. Senate will come to order. Senator Pogramiller.
Madam President, on motions, I'd like to revert to committee reports and move Addendum 2. Committee reports be adopted.
The reports are printed in Addendum 2. And on the Senator Pogramiller's motion to adopt, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion is adopted. Second reading of Senate bills. They're printed in the addendum. Second reading. Motions. There's one motion at the desk. Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 3571 on general orders be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight.
Senator Lurie, is that your bill? Is that your bill, Senator Lurie?
That is my bill.
On Senator Lurie's motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion adopted.
Any other work at the desk?
That's it. Where excuses are done.
I'd hold for announcements or excuses.
They're all set.
Okay, then, Madam President, I would move that the Senate adjourn till Tuesday, March 18th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, Senate's adjourned. Oh, sorry, with the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, save a sign. A motion's adopted. Senate's adjourned.